Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast, and it is a great Wednesday night here in Lexington, Kentucky, and we're at episode number 339 for those of you keeping track. And of course, this is one of your co-hosts, Stephen Zimmer, joined very closely by the one, the only, the vivacious, the lovely Holly Phillippe. Holly, how are you?
Sup? I'm here.
She's had tech issues tonight, so we're hoping that the headset cooperates over there. So I'm definitely going to have a fun episode with you, and I hope you stick aboard because tonight we're just going to have fun. We're going to talk Halloween, and some more Halloween.
Woo! Yay!
That's the general plan.
My favorite time of year.
And we're going to open it up for callers just here in just a few minutes. And hopefully, I hope one certain individual calls in that's in the chat room right now, and he said he might be able to call in for a few minutes. I do know that we may get a visit from the lovely Dinah Vizoric later. Chat rooms are open and working, and refresh your page if you have trouble logging in. We've got Metal Beck Harrison, Sandy Leonard, the Genre Blender, Tommy B. Smith in the chat room, and yeah, it's definitely a good night for Halloween.
I'm headed that way
because that's what's happening this weekend. It's Halloween. Well, technically Monday.
Yes, my favorite time of year.
But this is the only show that will take place before Halloween, so obviously that's going to be our special. And then, of course, on the weekend, I'm sure lots of you are doing parties or trick-or-treating with kids or all kinds of fun activities. So it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. And I know you're going to be off with the little ones doing the trick-or-treat thing, but I'm going to definitely be watching a little bit of some horror movie marathons on my end. So everybody does it different, but it should be a lot of fun. But we probably should be somewhat productive and do a couple of things before we get underway. And one of those things is we're doing our first kind of campaign for Imaginarium patrons. It's something that each one is like $50, and you get your name and logo if you wish. Listen to our sponsor page and you get in our program and you get a post and you get thanked and it really helps us, makes a difference because we are definitely a grassroots built convention. We don't have the luxury of gigantic corporate sponsors like yet. So these things really help.
If you know any, send them our way because I'd love to have some corporate sponsors.
Yeah. If you do have some big corporate sponsors, yes, that definitely
corporate
helps.
Corporate sponsors equals big.
Yeah, we can do more. But we definitely want to thank Lynn Slaughter, who's a fantastic author, and of course the Derby Rotten Scoundrels, the Sisters in Crime chapter out of Louisville, Kentucky. So the first two patrons of Imaginarium this year and kicking off our first campaign for that are Lynn Slaughter and Derby Rotten Scoundrels. Thank you so much. That really makes a difference. I can't say it enough. It's hard to illustrate how tough it is to pull off this event, and those make a big difference. So thank you, and definitely on the sponsor page when you go to you scroll down to where the individual patrons are. We do put their web links there. So go check out Lynn Slaughter's site. Go check out the Derby Rotten Scoundrels. Derby. I got to get that. Sometimes I flub that. But it's definitely a great organization, Sisters in Crime chapter in Louisville, Kentucky. And great. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. And I've got another wave of panelists about to be announced. So keep your eye out for that in the next day or so. Personally, I have something to tell you about Holly. Friday, we are going to have a cover reveal for a new novella I have with that new character that is set in the same world as Ragnar Stormbringer and Raiden Valkyrie. I'm really excited about this character. Completely different setting, distinctly different character from the other two. And I think and draws up some great lore. You know, like I did talk a little bit about it on some earlier shows, but draws off of a lot of lore and mythology from the American Southwest in the Four Corners region, and also even draws a little bit off of some Aztec stuff. And it's really going to be a fun new franchise series with this character. Allows me to play in some different areas, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And this first adventure is a real good introduction to the character, and it's a heck of an adventure. It's got a lot of dark edges. It's got a lot of action, and of course, you know me when it comes to a gritty fantasy tale. It's going to have a few creatures in it, so yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know Holly, she's read it, of course, so she can vouch for me that it's
I've edited it, I guess so.
Yep. So it's a fun read, I think you would say. Yeah, this one's a one that's a very quick read. Yeah, quick too, quick pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you just want to, sit down and enjoy a book, you could probably get through it in one session, easy,
Yeah,
but it goes quick. I mean, there's no lulls in it at all. I mean, it's, there's always something going on, and it's a really cool character, and I like Hongvi a lot. He's really neat.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be something I think a lot of readers are going to enjoy. The current readers are going to love it. I'm absolutely confident that I think it's also going to appeal to a lot of new readers too. So. Tonight, it looks like, God, we got more people pouring in the chat room. Catchbrook, Clayton Barnett, and we got Carol Preflatish, yes, and he has Metalbeck Harrison there. So this is getting good there, folks. Chat room should be kind of active, and so we're going to go ahead, because I'm going to open up the lines because we do have one author, I think, that's going to call in here, and I want to make sure I get his call in real quick. So we're going to visit with tonight. Tonight the show is brought to you by Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, and also by Per Bostet Publications. So we're going to start off with Per Bostet, and then we'll give you a little spot from Sandy. And then hopefully, we'll get a quick call in from some folks and start the mayhem. So, but Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With 40 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Follow the investigations of Private Eye David Blaze and M.B. Dabney's An Untidy Affair, historical mystery set during the 1985 police bombing of the Move House in Philadelphia. Or join the psychic private investigator Alan Rodriguez in New Mexico in A Handful of Dirt by Janie Franz as he tries to clear an elderly man wrongfully accused of murder. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events such as Prime Crime in Indianapolis in October. Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. And big shout out to Teely Harris, Marion Allen, and Sarah Marion, the literary triumvirate, as I call them. They're awesome. Thank you very much. And now here it is, that spot that we all love, a Sandy Lender spot. And here you go.
The latest release from author Sandy Lender is book 3 of the Fairy Holiday series titled I Know What Your Vampire Did Last Summer. It's a standalone story in the series, but it's got all the fun, humor, horror, and sweet paranormal romance you'd expect of a Lender Blender Vampire Satire. Come on down to the Naples Hideaway and Marina for a fun and romancy vacay. But watch out for the Grendwolves and the random femme fatale who thinks she's competing for your vampire's attention. Pick up I Know What Your Vampire Did Last Summer by Sandy Lender today.
Thank you, Sandy. You're the best. And your work is so quality. I can't say it often enough, folks. If you haven't tried Sandy's books yet, just give them a try. You're going to find excellent writing. And we don't say the genre blender lightly. She does it so well, blending genres. And so, yeah, the nickname is catching on. I've heard people using it today on Twitter. Fantastic. I love it. It's catching on, folks. But back into the chat room, I do want to say, add a note. We mentioned Prime Crime in Indianapolis is taking place this weekend, and Per Bastet Publications is going to be out there. Also, yes, I wanted to add that Carol Preflatish will also be appearing this weekend at Prime Crime. And looks like Diana Vazorek is being very productive, recorded about 20 TikTok segments for her channel, which is pretty happening right now, and that's going well. And
go
Clayton Barnett's wife.
You haven't. Go
yes.
Follow her on TikTok. She wants to get to that live so she can do live crochet art and all that on there. She's got all kinds of cool stuff on there.
Yes, and we also want to mention that Clayton Barnett's wife gets a shout-out. She evidently woke him up just before the show and said, that Wednesday thing? So, yeah, so his wife is a supporter of the show, as we have just found out. And I'll have to say thank you to her for getting Clayton up just in time for the program. So, but, yeah, the call-in lines are open because we're going to chat Halloween. Mr. Person in the chat room that mentioned early about being possibly able to call in, go ahead. And I know Diana's going to be doing pretty shortly calling in here. 619-639-4616 is the number, 619-639-4616. And yes, this is the holiday that has a lot of fun, imagination, cosplay, tied to movies, to books, to art, history. This is one fun holiday that is pretty much anybody could find something fun about it. Right, Holly? This is your favorite. No, this is your big one.
Yes, it is. It's Halloween all year round for me, but I love this time of year because I know the kids, I drove them nuts. See, my mother only took me to like three houses trick-or-treating. It was no big deal for her. It was more, she always, candy, she said, that wasn't it. She just didn't want to fool with it. So she'd only take me like three houses, and it was just like my aunts and uncles. And I had to wear one of those little plastic masks that we used to have in the 80s, remember? And they had like plastic little, almost like art shirts, you know, that tied in the back. That was the outfit. Woo, you know. So
yeah,
I went a bit overboard. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Cheap ass thing. But I went overboard then with my kids and drove them nuts. Diana's in the chat room. She can vouch. Her and Noah, you know, I would homemade costumes. I homemade Raven, Diana's daughter's first costume. I made her a cotton candy, you know, and it's the cutest thing. But, yeah, I did a lot of theirs. I did one year, I know Diana was Dora the Explorer, and I put that whole ensemble together. The one year, Noah did Neo, and that was so cool because I got him, like, the black lawn trench coat, and he had a black bag, and he carried a fake gun. You can't do that now, but, you know, back then, had the shades, and it was hilarious. But it didn't matter if it was cold or not. I still drug him out. Look at her. Diana's in the chat room said it was cold. It was sad. And then he's like, I'm going to quit. Come on, mother. Let's quit. You know, we're done. We got enough candy. I'm like, no, night's still young. We got an hour left. Let's do some more. Oh, my God. They'd be so exhausted.
Oh, yeah.
And they sleep good. And now I do it with the grandkids. And, yeah, the oldest three gave up on me this year. They're not going. And so that's sad that they got too big. And so now the three littlest ones, we're going out. And I get to wear them out.
That's awesome. And I'm going to bring in our first guest because I know he doesn't have a lot of time tonight. But I am going to share my Halloween story as a kid with our first guest of the night. And it is award-winning author and who's just tearing it up on the road these days. He is a road warrior. He's going to tons of events and he's burning it up. And it is the one, the only Tommy B. Smith. Yes, he actually had a little time tonight. Welcome, Tommy. There you are.
Hello.
There he is.
Tommy,
yes, the Catman. The Catman is on.
Tonight?
Doing good.
Happy Halloween.
Well, talking.
Hallows
happy
ease,
Halloween.
Ease.
Yes, right. Well, keep practicing that because in December, of course, that's the yearly show that you guest host, the Christmas Eve show, depending on what day
yes,
it is.
I'm not even sure how many Eves it is this year. I haven't looked quite that far ahead. I've not had the chance to check the calendar.
Me neither. It's been a
day
madhouse.
By day, month by month.
Yeah, well, you're traveling again. You got another event tomorrow. So before I share with you my childhood favorite Halloween, tell us a little bit. Yeah, you're where are you? Where are you going to be tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow I'm actually going to be at Jim's Kitty Rehab right here across town from where I live.
Nice.
That is in Fort Smith. That is that's our cat shelter. I'm going to be collaborating with them on an event. And I'm going to do a special reading for the event and
cool.
I'm going to be signing some books and at the event and 50% will benefit the cat rescue efforts of Jen's Kitty Rehab. So hopefully we'll crank out some horror fiction and there will be dark Kit Kats for the occasion. National Black Cat Day, October 27th.
Nice.
And everyone wins here. Should be a good time, and it is my last event of the year as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice, man. That's a perfect gig for you. Yeah, cats and books and Halloween and horror. That's awesome.
Perfect. And I want to let people know, and I'm sure you're aware of, Tommy, this is the worst time of year for the black kitties. There's some evil people in this world, and they're scared of black cats. Because the superstition and they hurt them. And a lot of black cats are hurt this time of year. So I just want people to be aware of that. You know, if you've got black kitties outside, you know, keep a better eye on them and all that, because there's a lot of bad things that happen to them on Halloween, which
absolutely.
Is awesome. I've read a lot about that, and it's sad because they're like my favorite kitties. You know, I love black kitties. And it's so weird because in China, black cats are actually good luck and white. Yeah.
So I guess.
Funny?
Well, I guess then that our cats are, since they're tuxedo cats, I guess we balance out. It's even.
They're both. Yeah.
Yeah. No bad luck. No good luck.
Well, we have one black cat and one white Siamese.
Yeah, so you're balancing out then, depending on the culture.
It's true. It's true what you say about that, Holly, that black cats have really dealt with a lot of strife throughout history. You know, there have been a lot of heavy superstitions, and black cats to this day are the least adopted from shelters on quite a wide scale, so...
That's true.
The first cat I had that actually really sparked my deep affection for felines in general was a black cat. He wasn't entirely black. He had a white spot on his stomach, but he was mostly black. But so to me, there's a special place for black cats to me. So it's my honor to do the event and help some of them out.
There you go.
Very cool.
There you go.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
Well,
now that we have Tommy on here, I got to ask you.
Yes.
What is your favorite and most scary, the one that scares you the most, and it can be old, it can be newer, it can be whatever, Halloween movie and or horror, the same thing, or and or, you can answer both, book that you've read?
Well,
worst or scariest? scariest.
Well, you know, looking back at a lot of the movies I've seen, there really aren't a whole lot of them I can think of that actually scared me, but I enjoy a good, hardcore, intense viewing experience in a movie. And many horror movies offer that. But many well-done horror movies offer that. I always go back to the original John Carpenter's Halloween. That was one I had always enjoyed. It's a slasher, but it really doesn't rely on a lot of blood and guts to get the job done. Sort of a very atmospheric, very tense sort of slasher flick that I've always enjoyed. That's one of my favorites from early on. You know, there were a lot of them that came out of that, the horror boom out of the early 80s. There were some good ones that came out, and then people started leaning toward caricatures of those and sort of started recycling some of that. But there were a lot of good films that came out of that material. We've had a lot of good ones since. I was actually considering, I don't know if either one of you have seen Terrifier. Terrifier 2 is at the movie theater right now, so I was considering going to see that. I haven't had a chance yet. I enjoyed the first Terrifier.
Nice.
I don't know
no,
if I remember
I haven't seen
I
it.
Know the movie, but you know I don't know if I ever seen it.
You should watch it.
Yeah, I have not seen it yet.
I don't recall whether it's on. It was on Netflix at one point. I don't recall whether it's on there anymore. But
I'll have to check. I'll have to check. Yeah, because I know what you're talking about. I mean, I could even see the movie poster and stuff, but I don't know. For whatever reason, I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, that's weird, huh? But
did
I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
we're pretty good. We're pretty good.
Did you get
those.
To watch Trick or Treat in? Well, it was in the theater this year.
Unfortunately, I didn't. I didn't get to catch it in the theater.
It was so good.
But that's another good one.
They did it in theaters, and it was the first time my son Noah had ever seen it. Take him to the theater to see it, and they are making a sequel.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that should be interesting.
They are same director too, so that's going to be promising.
And
I loved it.
So it should be really cool.
Yeah, I love the vignette.
Excellent.
The werewolf vignette in that especially. I was going to comment on this because when I first – people asked me, did you see Trick or Treat? I was like, oh, that's one of my favorite Halloween movies, you know, from my teenage years and up, because I thought they were talking about the 1986 Trick or Treat movie.
Right,
which had cameos from Ozzy Osbourne, Gene Simmons, and interestingly enough, the vinyl reissue of that soundtrack done by the band Fastway – that featured a guy from UFO and a guy from Motorhead formed a band called Fastway, but they did the entire soundtrack, and that reissue comes out Friday on vinyl. And I did forewarn you about that, Tommy. But the film is great, and it takes in the mid-'80s kind of satanic panic and back masking on records, and it's a little cheesy, a little campy, and stuff. But it's a fun movie, and it involves Halloween because as Halloween approaches, Sammy Kerr, the satanic heavy metal rock star, he's got this scheme to come back from the dead, basically on Halloween night. It's a really crazy plot and a lot of fun, and that's always been a Halloween movie I cite as one I enjoy. But later on, Holly was like, "Oh, you haven't seen Trick or Treat, Trick R Treat, the letter R in the middle. If you want to look them up both." But it's this little character named Sam, who is kind of like an embodiment of Sam Hain, if you will, because I learned that that's the case in the comics that it's based on.
Yeah, that's his name.
But it's, he's a little guy that runs around and has a little kind of like a mask. And, it's a really neat vignette movie that weaves together stories. It doesn't do it like Creepshow, the movie Creepshow, where they just show a short story. And, this one kind of weaves together, several vignettes that kind of all kind of mix and match together throughout the course of the movie. It's a really interesting blend. And it's got a lot. I mean, it's got everything from, kind of a serial killer guy to, werewolf vignette. It's got a undead factor with another vignette. I mean, it's got a lot of – it's a smorgasbord of stuff that fits perfectly, I think, with Halloween. And it's a lot of fun. It's, I mean, for for Halloween movies, I think it's a gem, and certainly, you know, goes up there, I think, with the best. And yeah, seeing it on the big screen was cool. I thought that was awesome. But yeah, it's one to check out.
Excellent.
For sure.
I did see that it was airing at some, but I've been so pressed for time. Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance, but I did a while back.
Right.
Speaking of Halloween, when that went theatrical again, John Carpenter's original Halloween, I did make it out to see
that.
It's been a little while since then, but I enjoy, you know, when a classic favorite gets to hit the big screen again, if I have the chance. Yeah, I enjoy catching it on the big screen.
That's aged well. I love that one. And that's the other big one I cite. I don't quite cite Halloween 3, which definitely works the Halloween holiday into the plot. But that's the one where they don't have Michael Myers. It doesn't appear anywhere in it, and it's a rather strange one. But
Halloween 3 is
Halloween
for Michael Myers.
Well, it's just like Jason. It's just been so overdone. It's like, oh, my God, I'm tired of it already, you know? And I already know pretty much what's going to happen, so there ain't a whole lot of jump scares. I mean, it's fun. I mean, you know, if you're looking just for fun and horror, good horror, yeah, that's great. But, you know, I like jump scares and something that's really going to get under my skin where I'm going to go, oh, that's disgusting, you know?
Yeah, Halloween 3 was odd because it's called Season of the Witch, though, and it was this crazy thing that this, you know, it's basically they just all had this mask kind of theme to it, and they had microchips in the mask, and you know it was all designed to be like this mask kind of killing kind of thing, and yeah, with pagan ritual woven into it, and some. It was a crazy plot line. Yeah, it was a crazy one, but that was not quite up to par. And they quickly went back to Michael Myers with the next installment. So, but they realized that it was Michael Myers that was the franchise there. That was a gem. And I say that with some sarcasm, but. It's fun to watch, I guess, but yeah, don't expect anything like the classic Halloweens, but good stuff. Go ahead, Tommy.
I remember back in the 90s when I had some friends go to see So I Married an Axe Murderer, and someone told me it had Mike Myers in it. He had to further explain to me, not the one from Halloween, but
right.
The one from SNL. So.
Right, yes, Wayne and Garth, Mike Myers.
Yes,
that's awesome. But, oh, man, that's funny. But, yeah, as a kid, I mean, Halloween was always one of my favorites. And my mom, when I was a little kid, would always kind of home make my costumes. She's really good with arts, crafts, sewing, and whatnot. And I had gotten into Kiss big.
Lucky.
And it was around 78, 79, and she made me the Ace Frehley outfit for the Ace Frehley look on Love Gun and Kiss Alive 2, and then they brought it back for the 1996 reunion tour. So if you're familiar with that costume, that's the one my mom made for me with the white gauntlets and the crossing silver bands in front, and the whole nine yards of the wig, and she did the makeup for me. And we always had a nice little gang that we went around the neighborhood with, you know, parents supervising with a little pack of me and my buddies and my sister and some of her little buddies. And we'd go, you know, fill our little pumpkins to the brim, and then we'd come back, and every year it's the same thing. We'd always have glazed donuts, apple cider, and they'd let us watch an approved horror film, which obviously they didn't let us watch some things that were on the hitting table about that time, but we did get to watch like some little Hammer vampire movie or something along those kind of lines, nothing too over the top, but that we'd always come back as kids and watch a horror film and eat donuts and drink cider. And of course dad would go, and oddly enough, today is my father passed in 2006, but he would have been 80 today. And today is his actual birthday. So, but he would always, he always would do the inspection of the candy, and he would take the dad tax, because I always saw where the candy pile went down just a little bit when I got it back. So I know he took a dad tax, but But he was real meticulous. I mean, he would not take a chance. I mean, if anything didn't look like it was, you know, sealed or, you know, look, or anything was punctured or anything like that, yeah, he was way diligent, because they actually did have some stuff around the time, you know, a few people had razor blades put in things and whatnot. So it was, yeah, Dad would always examine the candy really carefully and then give me my stash. And oh, it was heaven for the next week, because I'd just be able to pick at that big pumpkin jar for the next week and listen to Kiss albums and eat candy. It was great. That was a good time. And I look back, I had a lot of interesting outfits. I went as a werewolf one year, and had a lot. One day I'm gonna have to pull out those pictures and post a few of those up. But I had a lot of fun throughout those years, and definitely with the creative mindset I had, it was just a good time and fond memories, Tommy. But yeah, you would have proved my Ace Frehley look. That was my favorite. I was space.
Well, let me
ace.
Ask you this. I'm going to ask you both. I'm going to think about it for a minute. What is your favorite? What was your favorite Halloween candy that you were hoping that you would get?
Go ahead, Tommy, because I got to carefully decide on this one, because there's a couple. Or do you want me to go, Tommy? Or do you want me to go? I got a couple.
it doesn't matter to me. I think the little small candy bars were always good. You know, things like, speaking of Kit Kats, I don't think I know anyone who doesn't like Kit Kats, but Kit Kats are good, you know. Small, I don't know if you remember, there was a candy bar called a Powerhouse once upon a time.
Yep.
Yeah, and there were some of those, and small, you know, Snickers and what have you, all of those, Butterfinger and what have you. Small candy bars were always good.
Yeah, I liked, back in the day, God, I was a connoisseur. I liked everything from, like, the hard candies, like the little packs of Smarties. They're all, like, rolled up little circular candies, the little clear plastic kind of rolled up things. I enjoyed those. And then they made these things called bottle caps, and I don't know if they still make them today, but they are the shape of bottle caps, and they tasted like soda, kind of like soda is the flavor that they were, like a cola or something. Yeah, and they were really enjoyable. I always complained about how fun-sized candy bars are not really fun because they're small, and if they really wanted to make them fun, they would make them larger. That's a lot more fun than the smaller ones. So I never understood the term fun size, but I did enjoy it. Yeah, Snickers was a favorite of mine. I've always loved this classic milk chocolate, and so anything in that regard. Yeah, like Tommy, I Kit Kats have been gold with me for forever. And then the legend is when somebody was generous enough to give Lick-A-Made packs out. I don't know if you remember Lick-A-Made. You get this little candy stick that you dip in the powder. And back in the day, they made them much bigger and better.
They're called fun sticks.
They were.
Yes.
Fun sticks, yeah.
I don't remember getting those on Halloween, but I remember them being in the store, of course.
We got lucky because some people they'd break them up. People would buy them and break them up and give like a single, like, flavor, and then one pack of with a little stick in it. We had some generous people in our neighborhood that would actually do that, and so anytime I got like Lick-A-Made stuff or little small boxes of Milk Duds, because I'm a caramel lover, so I love anything with caramel, so Milk Duds is always a good victory. There was a few different things that I enjoyed back then.
Well, mine is odd. Because you know me, I am odd. I loved, they still make them. You can still find them. They're called Chico Sticks. Do y'all remember Chico Sticks?
Yes, I do. I do.
Yes, I do. I do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
like,
my
tastes like a crunchy peanut butter stick.
Yes. It had like peanut butter, and it almost reminded you of like the inside of a, what did they call that? A Butterfinger.
Butterfinger.
I loved Chico Sticks. And, man, if I could get some of them. And then I liked the Fun Dots. They were on a sheet of paper, like you unrolled, and it was just like dots of candy. And remember, mm-hmm. you peeled them off? Half the time you ate paper, too, but
you
just
paper.
Peeled off the
That's
little
right.
dots, and they were all different colors. Yeah. those were like my favorite things. And Snickers, of course. I did love the full-size Snickers bars. And then peanut M&Ms, of which I still love. That's
oh,
I
just remembered. I was trying to remember. My brain kicked in finally. 100 grand. Do you remember 100 grand bars?
I remember those.
I do.
Yes,
do
those were
right.
I
hold. Do you remember Zeros?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, white chocolate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those were good. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So here's
all
the polarizing
stuff.
Question. Licorice. Thoughts? Black licorice.
Take it or leave it.
Thoughts?
Not bad, but I don't mind it, but it was
licorice?
Never something I got excited about.
I hate black licorice. Absolutely hate it. I was so excited to try absinthe, and then I was like, bleh. You know, I hate black licorice.
Yep.
Hate it. But yeah, Twizzlers, now I'll eat a Twizzler. Now, I do like them. Red.
I'll always take it or leave it.
Because red licorice is quite different from black licorice. Black licorice,
yes.
You get the anise, which is very strong. And so that's
mm-hmm.
what comes through in the absinthe. There's a lot of absinthe as well.
Yes.
I actually enjoy the taste, oddly enough. My wife hates it. Green NyQuil, if you've ever drank that, that tastes very much of that.
mm-hmm.
They call original green death flavor. I actually enjoy the flavor of it. But we typically, if we get NyQuil from the store, we have to get the cherry variety because otherwise she won't drink it.
Yeah. No, I know. I understand.
Yeah,
it's not,
I
yeah, but like
it.
I
yeah,
said,
I'll
eat it, but it's licorice, but it's, yeah, it's one of those things. It's not something I request or hope I get, yeah, but it's not something that sends me running either. And,
no,
but that's, yeah, that's a good question.
It's either you like it or you don't. There's not like an in-between where people can say, I can eat it, you know. People are either like,
mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Oh, there they are.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking it up online. The other one that I could remember is on a stick, and it was caramel. Sugar Daddies. You know,
oh, yeah.
You're on caramel
sugar
on a stick.
Sugar Daddies and Sugar Babies.
Those were always very welcome in my pumpkin as a kid. So, yeah, it was the good stuff.
Hate it getting all the Tootsie Rolls, and that still drives me crazy.
Oh, yeah. Those are my least favorite things to get. They always had, and it seems like every other house did Tootsie Rolls back in our day. Everyone did it. I guess because they were probably one of the ones that really sold big packs of stuff that in the grocery store is probably why, but yeah, there was an overabundance of Tootsie Rolls. And, I learned to, not be too thrilled about those, but I have no idea what dad took though.
Well,
the dad
packs.
I don't know what he did.
I got a good question. You heavy metal heads there.
Heavy metal heads.
Yeah, you're metal heads. So, what's
just
your favorite
Halloween
song?
Just I went and saw Merciful Fate in concert
song.
Last night.
Oh, man, you're going to make me jealous. Oh, lucky you, man.
What's your favorite Halloween song?
Oh, well.
Halloween by Burst by King Diamond.
Yeah, that is one. Yes. Yes, absolutely. That's one. Of course, you know, there's the classic Black Number One by Typo Negative.
Yes.
The band Helloween.
Yes.
The band Helloween has an epic Helloween song at the end of the first Keepers of the Seven Keys album.
That's a great video that I watched as a kid. I loved. I used to have a crush on that one girl that came out in the middle of that video. Wow. as a teenager, I thought she was something else, but I remember that Helloween video. the King Diamond song Halloween just absolutely has rocks and just has such a cool riff, so it has to be up on my top of my list though. But Black Number One, that's beautiful. I've been recently listening to some of their stuff, so I spun that recently. Good one. Yeah, that's a gem.
I gotta say, of course, Witchy Woman by the Eagles. And then there's always the Monster Mash. Love that song. I was singing it earlier.
Very cool.
Do you remember the Monster Mash? We do
yes,
the mash.
I do.
We do the Monster Mash. The Monster Mash. Yeah. It was a great one. Yes. I love that.
That's always one that they played at the roller rink. You know, we had a roller rink that we went to in grade school, and that's always one they would play around Halloween time in the on the roller rink. Was Monster Mash. That was a good. I do remember that one quite well. But
that's a good one.
Yes, yes. Good question, though. Good question. Gave Tommy and I a chance to promote some great bands. And it looks like we have another caller joining us right now. I'm going to slide in this caller because I think it may be Diana.
Tommy remembers Miss Diana, of course.
Diana, is that you? There she is.
Hi.
Well, give you a chance to say hi to Tommy B before he has to log out. But because I will say there is a segue here. Diana at Cottage Core Creations made a crocheted character of one of Tommy's characters. So Tommy actually owns a Diana made character from his books.
Yes, she's sitting right here behind me. Yeah, she did a there's a rendition of Lilac Chambers from Poisonous. And she's sitting right behind me looking at me.
That's beautiful.
We did a little crossover episode.
Yes.
Yes.
Crossover. So, Tommy, do you have any new books, horror books on the horizon? Anything scary?
On the horizon, yes. I don't know whether I can talk about it yet, but there will be some news here at some point.
There will be some news.
Long, I hope. So.
Yes.
Hopefully everyone can patient with me a bit longer. But yes, there will be news.
Well, of course
one
we
day.
Can. And when you're allowed to unleash, we'll have to have you back to talk about it on the show in depth.
Definitely.
But yes.
I do have another question, though. What is your favorite current series or newer horror series that has been on lately? Streaming or cable or
I want to ask Tommy about this. I do want to ask Tommy something. Yes, go ahead, Tommy. Answer, and I have a question.
newer horror series. Well, let's see. Of course, I've been watching the same ones that I've been following for a long time, like American Horror Story just started back up. So I'm watching that. But, of course, each season is a new story. We started watching Chucky, which is basically takes off from the Child's Play movies and all that. So that's silly. You know, it's just Chucky. He just cracks his jokes and runs around and kills people, and he's just a wonderful little sadistic self.
He's like Sam.
Kind of is. I'm not in a way. Kind of is.
Yeah.
So Sam's a little more formidable, but yes.
with his sharp candy.
Well, I'm going to leave it at that. Oh, I will say though, Tommy, when you see Trick or Treat, make sure you look out for the Holly Ho candy bars. Holly was given one this weekend by our friend John Foley, and she got one, a Holly Ho candy bar. It's awesome. But now, Tommy, I'm gonna throw out something that's on my mind, and then I'm gonna ask Tommy a question because it is timely and it's definitely a movie that's perfect for watching on the Halloween weekend. But I will say I am impressed so far with the first two shows of Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. If you guys want to binge on something, they'll have about 6 or 8 episodes out on Netflix by the weekend. But if you want monster stories, I mean. Like good little hour-long monster tales. Wow, the first two were fun. I mean, you don't look for anything, you know, just absolutely, you know, groundbreaking. Don't look for anything, you know, like I said, just, you know, too different. I mean, but this is like you're just gritty, back-to-basics monster kind of stories. Yeah,
it's
true. But it's done by, yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah, the monsters are fantastic.
Scary.
Yeah.
I jumped a few times. Mm-hmm. I actually jumped. Diana, have you watched it yet?
No, not yet.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. You and Tommy have got to see it.
Tommy will appreciate
keep
it.
That one in mind.
I really do. Yeah, he does so well. And it's the first monster, I won't say anything more, but it has a little bit of a Lovecraftian type of edge to the monster design and the story. And so that
yeah.
was kind of cool. And then the second one was, just kind of like a more of a classic type monster kind of take. And it was cool. So definitely check that out. But the movie I want to ask Tommy about, and because I have been just absolutely just beside myself, upset about the disaster that is Rings of Power and Amazon. Hate it. But this adaptation, however, I liked, and it was a big risk. Hellraiser, the new Hellraiser, that was just released. I liked it, and I thought that the different take on Pinhead was really interesting, and so was the ensemble of Cenobites and the story and feel and atmosphere. I think got the franchise back on track. But I won't go into detail because I want to find out. Tommy, what do you think of the new Hellraiser?
Oh, I haven't even had a chance to watch it yet. I've seen some comments on social media about it. But, it's in my definite to-watch list. But I've just,
I really would like to hear your thoughts. Because a lot of people got bent out of shape, I know. And I understand that because there's a lot of things that irritated me to no end about the Shyamazan adaptation of what they call Tolkien's work. But I won't rant. I'm not going to rant. I promise, Tommy. But we'll get back to that someday. I'm going to do a whole show on that. But this one, it was a different take. And if you remember, and this is something that I remind some of the people that have had a problem with it not being Doug Bradley. If you read The Hellbound Heart, and I recently reread it just for fun, but the identity of Pinhead is left in the air. I mean, you can't really tell if it's a male or a female character. It's a bit androgynous.
Yeah, it's genderless,
and,
you know.
Yes,
it's
pretty much genderless. So, I mean, mm-hmm. a filmmaker could reasonably take that either way, you know, in terms of they want to portray one that's more male or more female or whatever. So it really is in the books that, you know, you can take the ball and run with it a little bit. And David Bruckner, I'm impressed because he that's a bit of a risk, you know, to take on something like that and change an iconic kind of figure that's kind of ingrained in people's heads, you know, from two, you know, the first two ones are absolute classics, you know, then, you know, we can talk about, you know, what's good or not about the other ones. Not all of them are bad. Mm-hmm. I like, there's a couple of those sequels that have some pretty good stuff in them, but the first two are definitely core film classics. And I think that this one, I have to say that after simmering about it for a little bit and letting it percolate, I'd have to say it's probably my third favorite in the franchise. Probably ranks number three for me after Hellraiser 1 and 2.
That's good.
When you see that, I want to hear what you think, Tommy, because I think you'll have a
neat take on it. I'd like to talk to you about it more because I really like the female character. It's just the right amount of creep factor, you know, she's freaky, and I love it. Have you seen it yet, Diana?
No, I haven't even watched the originals yet. I have them all here to watch, but I just haven't got to it.
I have failed you. Oh, my God. I didn't
this
let them
weekend,
watch.
Diana, the perfect movies to watch with the children. Perfect movies to watch with the children.
No, the kiddies don't need to see that.
They would love it.
I watched
a nice,
I watched
wholesome
the original
family
Hellraiser
film
in the movie theater when it came out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, really?
I had the Hellbound Heart on my bookshelf,
God.
Of course.
That'd have been great.
Yeah.
That'd have been great at the theater.
I saw Hellbound. I saw part two in the theaters when I was young, you know, back in the day when that first came out. I missed part one. I actually watched that, and Tommy, you'll appreciate this, and it might bait me just a little bit. We rented it on Betamax. I saw that. I rented that on Betamax.
We actually had a Betamax once upon a time as well.
We watched Hellraiser 1 on Betamax, like my friend of mine and I, on a Friday night, us high school rascals, you know. But it's but yes, on the second one I did catch in the theater, and that was amazing. And third is when they kind of started to, you know, started to break down a little bit, but third was still pretty fun to watch. But yeah, this one, yeah, she did not try to repeat Doug Bradley. She didn't try to copy him in any way. She made a distinctly different kind of Pinhead, and I thought that was cool. It was definitely no, they weren't trying to redo Hellraiser 1 or 2 or anything like that. This is its own movie entirely.
No, it's not a reboot. It's not a reboot. It is a continuation, another retell. It's not like the same-o, just reboot it and throw it in a woman. That's not what they did. They did something fresh and new, and yeah, it was really good. I liked it. What did you think?
Yeah.
I have to ask this. I know we've all seen it, and Diana's seen it. Is the Jeffrey Dahmer story? Have you had a chance to watch it, Tommy?
I've seen a number of different documentaries on those occurrences, but I haven't watched the new one yet. I've heard a lot of other people talk about it.
It's something you go in knowing the story, you know what happened, but to see it with Evan Peters, with him playing that part, it will just turn your stomach at times. It is just, and then it makes you feel pity for Dahmer, but then you feel guilty for feeling bad for Dahmer because you feel bad for the victims. But yet Dahmer, if his parents would have done right by him as a child, then there wouldn't have been victims. You know what I'm saying? I think they failed him. Well, they failed as
the way
parent,
it's told.
Period.
The way it's told, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know some people have said that it's not entirely accurate on his youth.
Well, no,
so
they're going
to
run into something because nobody was there to hear everything he said to somebody.
No, of course not.
They got the Jeffrey Dahmer tapes. You know, he admitted to everything and told most things, but of course, you know, there's going to be some ad-libbing. Of course, there's going to be some added things in there. It's just like The Crown, you know, with the royal family. You're not there. People aren't there for every single instance. They have to add some things in. But as far as the victims go and the murders and, you know, all that, it pretty much went by the book there. But, yeah, it's the creep factor. Wow. I know Diana has some thoughts. What's your thoughts, Diana?
Well, hold on. Just before Diana gets on board of this, I do have to say one funny thing for Tommy. But you got to be aware because I have an all-new way of looking at this because our family, dear family member and friend Beck had pointed out to me how much he looked like Napoleon Dynamite, and I can't unsee it now. Said that the way he looks in this series, he reminded her of Napoleon Dynamite, and I was kind of like, "Oh my God, you're not wrong." So yes, I'm cursed with that now.
Right.
Every time I think, go Diana.
All right. Well, now I'm going to consider that when I do get around to watching it.
Yeah. Now you're going to put that in Tommy's head. Stop it.
It'll add a new layer, another layer of fun. But go Diana. Tell us your thoughts.
On that note, I should probably take my leave, but look forward to listening to the rest of the episode later when I have a chance.
Have a great event tomorrow, Mr.
Thank
Smith.
You for Tommy, and
thanks
for
calling.
Sharing your Halloween faves with us.
Talking movies and everything else. Rock on, man.
Excellent chat with you all. All right.
Bye, Tommy.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Di. It's your time to shine, serial killers. This is me and Diana's best favorite thing here in the world, serial killer topics.
I literally listen to serial killer podcasts, I would say a good, 16 hours a day, every day. Just because, well, typically it's because I just have to have podcasts on for noise or whatever, but I mean, that's my preferred. I don't like that they released the Jeffrey Dahmer series so close to Halloween, though, because it's unfortunate that everybody's, like, dressing up as him or dressing their kids up as him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's funny or cute. Like,
I don't either.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little much.
I don't
yeah.
either. Because that's disrespectful to the victims' families. You know?
Right.
And
I get like,
it.
You're not like, I don't know, it's not somebody you should aspire to be, you know?
Right. You don't want to emulate them. The whole fascination, I know Steve don't always get it, our fascination with it, but the way I've explained it is I'm fascinated by how the mind can switch like that or turn off the humanity in someone to where they can do those things or they have the impulses to act upon those things. I mean, we all have thoughts of, you know, strangling somebody or, you know, you get so mad, you're like, I want to strangle somebody. You know, we've all had bad thoughts of things, but, you know, to act on it is a whole other thing. To actually hurt somebody like that, you have crossed the line. And it's just fascinating to me how the brain works to, you know, I want to understand why do they snap like that? What causes this? What's going on deeper in their psyche? What happened when they grew up? You know, is this something like Jeffrey Dahmer? He had a very strange childhood and he had problems early on. He just never got the help because his parents were, you know, not the best. And
right.
His dad wrote a book and everything about it, but that's his dad's tale. And we can't, of course, get Jeffrey's rebuttal because Jeff's now gone. But, yeah, I think Jeff needed put in an insane asylum. He didn't need to be in prison. He needed to be in the insane asylum because, obviously, he was insane, you know. But at least
yeah.
he admitted terrible. Mm-hmm. And you have some serial killers that have no remorse whatsoever. They're totally opposite because they just don't care. They just love to kill. It's not an impulse or a sexual desire or anything like that. It's just they want to kill people to do it, you know? And that's a whole other story. So it's like what drives one that doesn't drive another. And it's just – it's fascinating. It has to do more with psychology than anything, you know? Because like you said, nobody wants to emulate or strive or look up to a serial killer, you know? And that's why the costumes they're playing are just in bad taste. I think it's very bad taste.
It is. I mm-hmm. think it's fine if you're doing not real characters. Like, people do, like, ghost face and whatnot. Like, they're not real people, you know. They didn't actually yeah. kill, like, real people that have families that see this stuff on the media now. And yeah.
Right. You know, dress as Sam. Or dress as, you know, Jason Voorhees. Or dress as, you know, Michael Myers.
Or Pinhead.
They're serial killers, but they're
yeah.
fantasy characters. They're fictional. You know, that's a whole other thing. But to dress as an actual serial killer, yeah, it's to me, it's in bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I don't like that. I don't like that the people doing it to their children either because they don't even, like, they're little kids, like I saw that costume I sent to you the other day. It was like,
yeah.
I don't know, I'd say the kid was maybe 5 at the most. And, you know,
yeah,
they didn't have any say
that.
In that shit. Yeah. Oh, sorry, uh-huh. Am I allowed to cuss?
You're allowed
yes,
to cuss.
Yes, we're not an FCC regulation.
We're not FCC regulated. I cuss all the time. Yes. But, yeah, it was cute. I mean, the kid was cute, but like you said, he had no say in it. And it was poor taste. Even if she'd have come to my door, I'd have probably said something.
Yeah, not the best thing to do. Yeah. No, but I think it was a pretty interesting take. I mean, the way they portrayed it. I mean, it definitely not many things will try to give you the perspective of the actual killer. Usually they'll just stick
right.
to the other perspectives. And it was kind of interesting, that approach.
I was so sad about the episode with where he got the boyfriend that he was deaf, right? That right. whole episode mm-hmm. made me so sad because, like, I found myself, like, rooting, like, oh, maybe – I know he wasn't going to turn his ways because, obviously, we know what happened. But I was still just like, oh, maybe this will
fix it. This will stop
right.
him yeah, from going down that
well,
road.
He did stop for a while because he did
mm-hmm.
he did actually love that guy. And yet the mental illness and the impulses he had, he just couldn't control them. He was out of control at that time. And I wish he would have just walked into an insane asylum at that time and said, please admit me because, you know, I've murdered two others. Please admit me.
Mm-hmm.
But he just didn't do
yeah.
that, and that's unfortunate, and he kept killing. And, yeah, it's just sad, and my heart goes out to the victims. But I am glad that they did get closure, and, you know, they do know
yeah.
what happened, as sad as it is, but they did
mm-hmm.
get closure. There's a lot of people that don't have that and may never
right.
get that because there's a lot of serial killers that, well, let's be honest, that get by with it, you know.
Right.
It's
interesting seeing the shift between like the 80s movies where, you know, the serial killers were fantastical. Freddy Krueger, Jason, Michael Myers, Leatherface, all these guys, you know. And now what you're seeing is a real shift to the real crime-based stuff because Beck just told me today, speaking of Beck, about, yeah, I guess a new Netflix show is coming out with a nurse serial killer, some nurse, which I don't know
yeah.
a lot of the story, but. But, I mean, but it seems like, yeah, just every time you turn around, yeah, they're coming out with the real crime-based kind of stuff as opposed to the slasher stuff that we saw just fantastically back in the 80s. But, yeah, you're seeing a
right.
lot more real crime-type shows and, like, the things like the Dahmer one, which wasn't a documentary as much as it was a docudrama and you know, and then, you know, this one coming up, I think, is a feature film, the one that Beck told me about, which the name eludes me at the moment. But, you know, Beck can mention that in the chat room if she's still in there. But, yeah, it's interesting to see the shift in that. Yeah, people seem to be very interested in the real, the ones that really were doing this sort of thing. And why is that?
Yeah,
Holly?
I prefer the... for the true crime aspect just because I like the psychology of it. And then I learn a lot, really. I don't know. I just love psychology. I have many, many psychology college textbooks that I've read. I could tell you a
yeah.
lot, but, you know.
The Good
right.
Nurse.
Right.
Beck said it's called The Good Nurse.
Yes, The Good
what
Nurse.
That one
it's on my list. But, yeah,
of course
it's,
it is. If it's about serial killers, Diana Beck and you, it's going to go on your list like ASAP. I know how it works.
Just
but,
like Bailey
you know,
Sarian.
yep.
I know.
She's back too.
She released another episode like a day or two ago, so I watched it today. And now I'm completely caught up on all her stuff, her dark history stuff, her makeup and murders. Like, I have no more Bailey Sarian to watch.
Oh, I'm woefully behind. Woefully,
yeah, we're way behind
them. So much going on.
So much. Yeah.
With streaming. Especially
mm-hmm.
now, you know, Halloween time, they're coming out with all the good stuff. So we have to
mm-hmm.
watch it, and I'm telling you, the Cabinet of Curiosities, you got to watch that. They're dropping the
yep.
two episodes every single night up to Halloween. Two last night,
yep.
two tonight, two tomorrow night, two the next night, all the way up to Halloween.
Those are Halloween
gems.
Well,
I'll wait until they release them all. I hate when things do that, so I haven't even watched The Handmaid's Tale because I want to wait till the whole season's out.
Well, you've watched up till this season. You just haven't seen this season.
Well, yeah, I'm waiting on this season, so I'll
mm-hmm.
probably do that with
yeah.
this, but I've been waiting for it to come out.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's just the right amount of spookiness, and it's got the creepy monsters. It's got gore. It's Del Toro. What's there not to like,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. I love him so much. I just, like, the thing I like about him – the most, I think, is just his I don't know. His cinematography is so beautiful. Like, it's just beautifully macabre.
Yes.
Yeah, he gets creatures down pat too. I mean, he really is,
yes,
is top,
yes,
of the line with creatures. And
mm-hmm.
that's why each of these shows features a different monster. Yeah, it's really it's a great, like I said, it's a monster feast. Each one's a different monster, and it's really
Steven,
which I love.
Did think he comes up on a theme, and we'll see how that plays out. We got two to watch tonight, but we'll mm-hmm. see if the theme continues.
Yeah.
Do the episodes go together, or are they different stories?
No,
they're just different stories, entirely different stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, he does an introduction. Yeah, he does a little introduction before each story, so kind of that's how they tie it together. But yeah, there's a little bit of a theme going on in the first two, and I'm curious to see if that continues in three and four. And if that's the case, and yeah, I'm gonna I picked up on a theme that's going on. But yeah, Del Toro definitely is doing different stories, cool stuff, and I've always liked his work. Yeah, he's just a superb director.
I'll tell you
truly,
another one.
Truly amazing.
Another show. When did it last come out? I think it was last year. Was The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes. That was
I've heard good things about it. I haven't watched it yet, though.
There's like 18 ghosts. Isn't it 18, Steve, per episode? And
something
you have to
like
look
that.
For them.
Yeah, they're in the episodes.
You don't just see them automatically. You have to look. Once you know there's that many per episode, you start looking for them. They scare the crap out of you. I mean, they come out of nowhere, or they're just sitting there staring, and it's like, oh, my God, you see that? Take it to corner, you know? Yeah, that show is spooky, and it does have some jump scares. It's hard to really scare me with a movie or show, but, yeah, Del Toro does. But, yeah, that one there, The Haunting of Hill House, sure did.
Right.
I'd be like, I
know what.
Did you see that?
You know how, I don't know if this happens to you, but you'll, like, watch things as a child and just think it's, like, the coolest thing ever, and then you rewatch it as an adult and it, like, sucks? Well, the other day, I remember when I was a kid, I probably shouldn't have even been watching it, but it was 13 Ghosts. I remember it being just so
young. That was terrible.
Yeah, I remember it being so awesome and having like nightmares and stuff as a child. And then I recently watched it a couple months ago, and it kind of sucked.
Oh, it still freaks me out.
Some of the designs still are pretty awesome. I think.
Yeah,
some
of
the ghosts are pretty intense.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
That one with his head in a cage.
Yeah.
There's
that's
some
pretty
good
wicked.
Stuff in there. Yeah.
And that the whole thing is like a movable machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild. If people haven't seen it that are listening, go watch 13 Ghosts. That's a good Halloween movie.
I mean, it's a good movie. It's not like the scare value I have anymore, but like I guess I'm not that scared anymore of anything.
Well, it's because you listen to 16 hours a day of serial killer podcasts.
Yeah. No, I'm more scared of somebody breaking into my house and killing me than I am of, like, any demon or ghost.
Yes, you call me.
Yeah. I was like, I have such bad paranoia because of my mental illnesses. That, like, when we lived in the city, it was just so bad. I was always checking the windows and doors.
Yeah, well,
it's not
a
so bad anymore since I live between the two cops, you know, but.
Well, yeah, you got cops on both sides. I mean, you holler loud enough, one going to hear you.
I know, at this point, I'm just like, if somebody's trying, you're really stupid, and, like, I'll take you down.
See, Holly, I thought she was going to, as far as those shows, I thought she was going to bring up like the effect I had when I remember the Star Wars holiday special which had Chewbacca and his family. And as a kid, I thought, oh, this is really great. And then when I grew up and saw it, I was like, oh, my God, this is awful.
Okay. We watched the Hammer film the other
night.
We
did, and it was fun, though. Horror of Dracula with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. And I was amazed at just how good, it was good.
I took a nap.
Well, you always take a nap. During shows.
I didn't take a nap last night when I was watching The Cabinet of Curiosities. My love of vampires, but I watched those when I was a kid, and those are the best things ever. That's what I based my whole vampire love of, and I was going to grow up, marry a vampire, and be a vampire and all this stuff. And now that I've watched those, I'm like, what in the hell? You know, because they got so much better with the graphics and stuff. I mean, you got Underworld. You got, Dracula Untold.
Oh, yeah.
You have Bram Stoker's Dracula. You have Interview with the Vampire. You have, all these things now. And it's like, well, what the hell? But, we watched that there. And it was fun,
I enjoyed the heck out of it. Yeah, it was fun for me. You always go to sleep. But,
not if it's a good vampire film.
Oh, you fall asleep during
good one. I watched Cloverfield for the first time the other day.
I have not seen that in a long time.
Because of the shaking of the camera.
I don't normally like them either, but I thought it was a pretty okay movie.
Yeah, that's one I remember being pretty fun to watch.
Speaking of found film movies, I can't stand them, but listen, a really good one that has replay value, I watch As Above, So Below all the time.
Nice.
It's been a while since I watched it, but I have seen it.
And yeah, Holly and I, we tried to watch an early movie from 1930 from Germany, or 1931, called Vampire, and it's one of the earliest vampire movies, and it was just so dang slow. I mean, it was,
oh my God.
Yeah, we couldn't get through it.
I might finish it someday, but, boy, I'm really going to have to be awake.
Yeah,
oh, God,
that,
that's how I feel about the original Evil Dead. Like, people come at me, but I am an Evil Dead remake fan. I love that movie, but the original, I bought it to have it, and it's so boring.
Remake, as far as like Evil Dead 2, because Evil Dead 2 is a remake of 1, just spiffed up a lot, and then there is the remake of the modern era that came out not too, a few years ago or whatever.
I like the remake. I think it might be like 2018 or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, the newer one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's better, without
a doubt. It is so great. I love it so much. Like, I made Martin watch it with me, because he can't stand any gore. The part where she gets her arm stuck under the Jeep, and so she has to rip her arm off, and it shows it all. He's just screaming his head off, and I'm just laughing, and it's gory, and I don't know. I just thought it was so funny.
That's awesome. It's good.
David,
I liked it.
Sheridan. Him and David.
Yeah, David Sheridan. David Sheridan's another one.
Yeah,
and we've actually watched with both at the same time, and that is hilarious. Yeah, we got both of them going. But Beck brings up one that we should have mentioned for Halloween viewing, and that would be Evil, the show on Hulu. Is it Hulu?
Oh, the show.
Is that a Hulu show? That is a Hulu show, isn't it?
What is Evil? Paramount, I believe.
Paramount now.
I think it's Paramount.
That has one of our favorite evil characters of all time, Leland Townsend. Leland Townsend.
Dinah,
character.
You would love this series. Oh my God!
I know you keep telling me. I haven't started it yet.
You need to.
It's the right
Leland
balance of.
Evil, and you gotta love him.
Yeah, there's enough little humor and campiness to kind of make it, have an interesting vibe. But there definitely is some horror and and thriller elements all throughout it.
He is a high-ranking demon from hell. I mean, he is, but he just—he's just so happy about it, and it just cracks you up. You can't help it. And then there's this little nun in there, and God, I forget her name, and that's terrible, but she, if I was a nun, I'd be her, because she ain't scared of them demons at all. She ain't scared of Leland, and she just tells him like it is, and it's just tough as nails, and I just love her. And it's a great balance. Mm-hmm. Her and Leland are great.
Sister Andrea. Sister Andrea against Leland.
Yes, I love her so much. And she is the best. But that series, yeah, it's freaky. It gets freaky, people. There's some wacko demons in there, man. They're well done, too. The graphics are pretty wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like we were talking about.
Oh, wait, everybody, I got somebody on for the first time. I've got to bring her in because we only got 14 minutes in.
Uh-oh.
Metal Beck Harrison is joining us live on the Star Chamber show. This is exciting. There she is. There she is. Hello.
Hi, guys. Hi.
There you are. Hi, Beck. You did. Good job.
We were talking about serial killers.
And Leland Townsend, our mutual favorite character from Evil. Yeah. Lots of fun stuff. What's your favorite Halloween show?
It's just like when we FaceTime. I just feel so left out.
Well, here you are.
I was in the chat room all by myself. I felt left out.
And Beck has a new blog, Book Beck Adventures, folks. Book Beck Adventures. Got a couple really good reviews and some more stuff coming up. So, Beck, what is your favorite Halloween thing to do? What's your favorite Halloween show? You fill us in here for the stretch run of the show.
Well, I didn't get to do Halloween because, you know, I wasn't allowed.
Right.
So.
But
I
now
didn't
you
do Halloween until I had kids, and then Mike abandoned me. So.
Yeah, they left.
This is a sad story.
I'm so
far.
For that stuff now. And I wasn't even allowed to watch Halloween movies until I got older, so I'm kind of cramming in with everything.
Yeah, you're getting caught
and
up. We're trying to get you
I'm trying to get caught
okay.
up.
Okay, well, as you're getting caught up, what do you recommend folks watch this weekend? What's a Beck recommendation for people looking for something fun on Halloween? Tell us.
You know I love my serial killers. I think that's the most glorious thing you could do. But
oh, yes. Makes you happy.
And Holly hate these movies, but I love the Saw movies so much.
I think they are so good.
I make Jordan watch them with me all the time. I love them so much.
I'm not going to say they're – I don't think they're bad. They're just not – I don't know. I mean, they're – I just don't watch them, but I don't think they're bad.
I've never watched them. I don't intend on watching them. I hate clowns. And I just think
he's just like a clown.
He is a clown.
He's a clown.
Well, a little puppet thing, yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a clown.
Listen, though. I hate clowns.
I'll go
like
down
too.
With the clown.
I would punch one in the face if they approached me.
Oh,
but,
yes. Oh, Holly would be all Madea.
Movie.
Like Madea's Halloween, the Boo movie, where the little clown jumps up and Madea just clocks the clown, knocks her out of the little box. That's exactly what.
Have you watched the new It movie, though?
Yes,
I watched
they're
so good.
I love them.
Don't leave me alone. So I watched the first one. Her and Steven pulled my arm into it. I watched the stupid thing. I don't want to see the second one.
Well, there's a Halloween recommendation then. Yeah, It. We have not mentioned It.
I love the It movies. They are some of my favorites.
Read the book. Have you read the book?
I have not read the book.
Read the book. Read the book.
I think I might have the book, though.
The book is pretty good.
Well, the book, that is the only book I have ever read that has
we
scared
just,
me. The way it has.
Is that why you don't like clowns?
Well, that's part of it. I never did trust them. But after that, I was done. I was pregnant with Martin. So that's probably why he's terrified of everything. But, yeah, I read that book. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I would sweat. It was, I mean, it got scary now because I really got into it. Oh,
yeah.
It's a bit, but it's worth a read. If you like the movies especially, read the book because,
yeah.
Of course, they had to leave a lot out because that is a large book.
Well,
I can recommend
I got
it.
Older, I didn't get to watch these movies. So the only thing my parents let me watch is The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Well, hey.
I actually watch that every year.
Yep,
I watch
love it
every single year. I'm actually
That's
watching it this weekend because it's a tradition.
I have all the holiday Charlie Brown things on DVD.
The kids will watch it with me, but my mom loves it for some reason, so she watches it with me every year.
I may know Diana. They didn't like. I don't think they liked it. Did you like it, Diana?
I mean, I don't care. Like, I don't mind Charlie Brown.
Y'all just didn't seem as excited as me.
Oh, I always love the Halloween.
It's pretty hard to get as excited as me around Halloween.
That's how I feel about Christmas. I am pumped. So I feel that I'm like Holly is with Halloween when it comes to Christmas. But I still get into Halloween because I love holidays.
I am jacked when it comes to Christmas. But it has become too... The true meaning of Christmas is gone. You know, it's become too materialistic to me. And it's just, I don't know. I feel the spirit of Christmas is just gone. And maybe it's because I'm old now and I'm seeing it with a new pair of eyes or I don't know. But
I think it's because everybody's becoming very, people are becoming pretty greedy and they're not just enjoying like the traditions and the family time. And
right.
It's all about who can buy the most presents or who gets the most presents, and it's not about that.
Right. No, not at all. Not at all.
So I can understand.
Like we talked about before, things you can use. Like we're at the age now, you know, things I can use, that's what I want. I don't want stuff I got to dust or take care of or, you know, I like things I can use or that I'm going to use, you know, that I enjoy. And especially when you have chronic illness, you know, like me, fuzzy socks. Fuzzy socks make me happy. I'm easy. Up there
fuzzy
me
socks
too.
Are
pretty
awesome. I'm just like, whenever anybody asks me, I'm just like, please, for the love of God, get me candles. Like I can't even tell you the amount of money I rack up every year on candles.
When my brother came around, I told everybody, candles. Everybody got mad at me because I said candles, candles, and more candles.
Well, if you don't want to get me Halloween gifts, vinyl and bourbon, as always. Same thing I'm asking for Christmas. So there you go.
Same thing you ask for every day is vinyl and bourbon.
Vinyl, that's right.
Yes.
I'm easy. Yeah,
vinyl,
just send me Amazon gift certificates.
But nobody can buy you vinyl, Stephen, because
well, Amazon
you have
gift
everything.
Certificate.
So
Amazon
in
gift
my
certificate.
Opinion,
there you go.
I don't know what vinyl you have and don't have.
Well, that's it. So I guess it's
well, the only thing
you
should not buy is the Bon Jovi Complete Studio Album box set because that's what Diana's working on getting me. So that's the only one that's, I can't.
Diana, for the love of God, you ever get rich or win the lottery, please buy him that.
I already told him I'm going to get it. I have to sell everything I own, but I'll get
it. Well, it keeps going up and up and up in price.
Inflation, damn it.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy to get gift certificates as well for those listening. Yeah, if you want to send me one.
Well,
that's not a problem.
I got a question. I know Steve will be inside, but he can still answer it. But you girls, me and Diana will be taking her three little girls out trick or treat. And this will be Juniper's first time, actually, right? You
no.
Last year,
yes.
No.
Yes.
We never
no.
We never really took June.
No, I've never taken June. I had June out one time to hand out candy and Vivi, but we never went trick or treating.
but
we
all
literally went together last year. I held her.
We all went together, but we didn't take Juniper.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
We were all teammates. She was on my hip.
Because Becca dressed as a commander's wife from The Handmaid's Tale, and I dressed as a handmaid.
And I
tried to get my husband to dress as a commander, but he wouldn't do it. But it would have been hilarious.
We put her in the red buggy, and people were handing her candy.
That's right. Yep. We did take Juniper. Yes, I took our little red wagon, and people were just throwing it in the wagon.
Yeah. You remember, because we made it on Heads Up Jenny's County because of our talk.
I know, and now they're screwing it out of us this year. They're not having it till Monday. Who's going to go on Monday? We're not going on Monday. I got to come home. Dang it.
Commander Jordan. That's too funny. I love that.
Jordan don't even know what The Handmaid's Tale is, other than the 5 minutes he's kind of watched with me.
I know. But the question is, what costumes are you looking most forward to this year and to seeing the little ones wear? What's the costumes you're looking forward to?
Are you speaking to me?
Yes.
Both of you. All of
you. Both of you.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not, like, looking forward to seeing costumes. Honestly, I don't look at other people's kids.
Well,
I have to be honest. I don't really have, like, a specific costume I'm looking forward to. I just love how some get overly creative. And I just love seeing the joy on these little kids' faces because it's so pure and real, and that's what I love about Halloween and trick-or-treating.
Yep.
Because
these kids are
so excited, and it makes me so happy to see them excited.
They
and that's what I love about
it. They get to go out. They get candy. It's very exciting. It's fun.
And they get to
remember, I mentioned it earlier, but I still remember how much fun and how exciting it was to be Ace Frehley at 7 years old. That was awesome. I still remember that. Yeah, it's a lifetime memory.
Well, I never got that because my mom wouldn't have took the time to do that. So, and Beck and Diana know my mother. So, yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
I didn't go to the house
with the Great Value brand outfit I got.
I remember hearing my crocheted suit or Lilith's costume.
It was cute. You know my favorite course is going to be Elsa. I always look for the best Elsas because, you know, I love Elsa. And so yeah, I always look for the best Frozens and not just the store-bought, but, like, the homemade stuff is the greatest. Like the serial killers that run around with, like, the homemade cereal boxes and that have the fake knife, you know, they call them serial killers. I always think that's funny. But, you know, the homemade costumes are the best. I love it.
They are, because they're the ones, you know, the parents put the most effort to make sure their kids had a costume. It's cute. I like it.
Right.
So it is. It's sweet. Well, I always have to do up Raven's costumes because she always wants to be the most random shit.
Well, I got some of hers this year, so that helped you a little bit. But, yeah, you're still going to have to. She said she's going to do her own makeup, though. You asked her if she wanted to do it, and she said she was going to.
Well, I don't care about the makeup, whatever.
So what are they all going as this year, Diana?
Raven's going to be Ruby Rose from the Ruby anime. And then Lilith is going to be Pikachu. And Juniper has this big, it's floor-length ball gown. It's Snow White. She looks so cute. I couldn't pass it up, but somebody's going to have to remind me next year to make her the Cabbage Patch Kid.
She looks so cute. Oh, my God. So funny.
I kind of sort of, like, begged the kids to do it one more year because I didn't know last year was going to be the last year. And they all literally they all just stared at me like I had six heads and told me I was crazy.
Oh.
I know. I told them. No.
Yeah, because got to have Addison be Max from Stranger Things. Addison needs to be Max from Stranger Things. Perfect.
I said, you can be Max. You can all be a character from Stranger Things. Because why not? But they
Branson is Eddie. Branson could be Eddie.
Oh my
That'd be
God.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well,
do you know how much
year,
fun that would have been?
Well, we said we were going to do it for years, and 1 year we're going to do it before Diana's kids quit trick or treating. So you better start getting ready. Is we're going to do the three witches that we said we're going to do forever. We're going to be the Sanderson sisters. From Hocus Pocus.
I want to do that. So we need to just do it next year, and we're going to force them all to go against the real. Force family fun.
Right.
There you go.
And I can be Count El Padre, which
now.
We've talked
they
about that.
Tell me. The kids always say
fangs,
force family fun now.
Fangs,
they don't
and,
ever
and fingerless gloves.
I know.
We already told everybody we're hanging out candy to get back now.
You're talking about next year.
That's Branson. Oh, my God. Branson made the show.
Branson's on the
that
show.
That was Branson, folks. Branson's made his show debut. I'm impressed.
My oldest grandchild.
The best one there.
There he is. That's Branson, folks. That's the
man.
He
can be Eddie.
He can be Eddie. And then Bentley, we could make him a pelican. We could be a pelican.
Oh, they could all go as pelicans.
Yeah.
Little pelicans.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I can hear Addison in the other room going, I'm not going to be no pelican.
This show
now
has definitely went over.
Me.
This is fun.
Yes,
we're
we've gone over,
so
but
fun.
It is.
And
but
I
we
hope
did go over a bit.
The people are going to get tickled with this. They're going to listen because we're amazing.
I think everybody in
hopefully.
The chat room just left.
Well, the live show is over. Yeah, well, the live show is finished as of now, but we're still recording.
Overtime. It's still recording. So Tommy B said he's going to, there'll be several of them that'll listen to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're
we have to leave an Easter egg for Tommy B. We'll have to use leave some sort of Easter egg for Tommy B. Yeah, to test him, to make sure he listened. Leave him something in the overtime portion. That'll be the test. If he can't answer the question, we know he did not listen.
Just that you're playing catch-up, have you ever read any horror?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I've never read any horror movie books.
Oh!
Well, you need to do a Hellscape's blog tour when I get this book out. And be a reviewer.
That's putting Beck in the deep end of the pool. Oh, my God.
I do
God.
Own some Stephen King books, but I haven't read them.
Oh,
I couldn't tell you which one I own, but I do own a couple.
I like Stephen King.
But that's,
my favorite
I don't own
is
any,
Clive Barker.
Like, I don't own any actual horror books. I don't know why. I just don't.
Well, we'll have to get your copy of Hellscapes. Well, Days of Darkness. We'll get you a copy of Days of Darkness, and then you'll have one.
Yes, and I have a lot of Stephen King books, too. And then we got Stephen's horror books. So we've got several authors that write horror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can help
you
out.
We can fill you up.
Yeah, I've just always been, the serial killer stabbing books.
That's too good.
That's brilliant. I've heard that serial killer book. Documentaries are, I was around for the news when serial killers were really coming out. I told Steve that now I feel like they're just calling everybody serial killers. And unless you have like two or three kills, you're not a serial killer. They're just slapping this on everybody, and it's like, no, they're not serial killers, just murderers.
They're doing
you know?
It because it's like the cool thing that everybody likes now, and it's so funny because me and Cassie were just talking about this. She came down a couple weeks ago, and we were both like, we like serial killers before it was even cool to like serial killers.
Right.
And now everybody thinks it's a trend.
The serial killer themselves, it's the whole psychology, it's the whole
But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, we would go to the library, go anywhere, pull books of all sorts, and just bury ourselves in this stuff. And everybody's like, yeah, we're cool because we listen to podcasts and read the books. And I'm thinking, I've been doing it since I was six.
Yeah, you're
and
the OG.
I'm 37 now.
Yeah, you're an OG serial killer fan.
I'm an OG. An OG. And all these little girls are like, yeah, we're setting a trend. And I'm thinking, girl, I set a trend before you did.
That's right.
It just wasn't cool when I was doing it.
We had a lot of serial killers back in the 80s, 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Early
2000s. Oh, yeah, we did.
And then they tried to, I don't know if you two, Beck and Diana, have heard of anything recently, but I know they tried to blame it on lead pipes, saying that, you know, people were lead poisoned, that led to the high intensity of serial killers in the 70s and 80s because of
the
lead water
pipes. Yeah, they have the lead pipe theory, but, I mean, they can't prove it. And then a good percentage of serial killers, like, obviously not, like, all of them, maybe, like, less than half, like, have been proven to have, like, at some point a head injury. So.
Right.
Right. But not all of them have been proven. Like, Jeffrey Dahmer never really had a head injury. He was always a cuckoo.
His parents who were
something
else.
Cuckoo. I was going to actually write his father. I didn't realize how old his father was. I was going to write his father and see if, you know, I could get him to Imaginarium or get him on the show. But I looked him up, and he's like 87 years old, almost 90 years old. And I was like, oh, yeah, probably not. So I didn't. But I would like to talk to him someday. I may still write him, see if he'd be interested in doing the show. He's pretty much went off scene now. He don't do appearances. They say he don't really do anything now because, well, obviously his age. So I don't know what condition he's in. I don't know, you know, but I could always write him and see. We do have Jeff Mudgett coming on next month, who is H.H. Holmes, which was America's first serial killer.
Yep.
He is his great grandson.
I am watching that series on Hulu right now.
Yes.
Well,
watch the series.
You get to meet him, or at least hear him on the show.
I'm excited. I've actually
met
several people.
He has some issues going on to where he cannot make Imaginarium, but he is coming on the show next month on the Star Chamber show.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to be an interesting talk with him. I was really hoping he could make the Imaginarium because I wanted him to do his whole presentation, but I may still get a talk to him about doing a video recording or something that I could play, but or maybe he can do me a live, you know, from his home. He lives in Las Vegas.
Don't you guys do a virtual Imaginarium too?
We hope to.
We did
some point.
Batch on me to do a duel in 1 year. It's just too much. But I can still do it. I have for like Antonio Pantera and stuff. He was doing a film in like on the East Coast, and we did a live interview with him after showing one of his films. So, I mean, it's not entirely impossible. I could still stream a live virtual version and be able to do it because I have staff that can wing that and could even take questions from the audience and everything, you know, and do
that. Would be really, really neat.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what I'm thinking. I haven't talked to Jeff about it yet, but I will. We're buddies now.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
We have a little rapport going, and he's really a sweet person. And, you know, he's had to wrestle with the fact that his great-great-grandfather was a serial killer, and that's a lot on your shoulders, you know. But, he's done a lot of research. He's looked into things. And, of course, Jeff is perfectly sane, but he's very interested in the paranormal and does all kinds of neat things. So,
yeah.
It's going to be a very interesting episode.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, yeah, stay tuned,
but that's
folks.
I think it's great to get a lot of these families to give their input, you know, on
mm-hmm.
so they can have a voice and they could tell us a little bit of the background, because that gives us more of the psychology of it. You know, how were these people as children? Because as we know, what are they? They're usually the type. Usually they say they're white males between, like, what is it, 25 and 28, something like that, or serial killers? That's the usual.
And of course, there's always, like, the different signs that they point out when they're younger that shows that they're going to have...
Animals, torturing animals, that's a big one. Things like that.
I don't know. I think it's, like, there's no... definite, like, red flags of serial killers, because, I mean, Ted Bundy had, as far as anyone knows, a perfectly normal childhood. He was just, all in all, just a dick of a human being, you know what I mean? And they said that, Jeffrey Dahmer loved animals. He had tons of pets as a child that he took care of very well, you know.
But yet he was curious about dissecting them, and his dad would actually go collect roadkill to bring back to the house and help him dissect as a young child.
He never tortured animals, or he never even killed the animals. They were already always dead.
Mm-hmm.
So was that part in the series, was that one of the parts that was not true to the tale? Because I know in the series they showed, it was like the first or second episode, when Jeff was a kid, that he put motor oil in a mason jar with a frog.
Oh, yes, I do remember them showing that. I don't think that actually ever happened, because I also have, like, my last podcast on the left made a book that I'm reading right now. I read the Jeffrey Dahmer part, and it doesn't – everything I know says he was very good to animals and never mentioned that.
They just did that as a – because that's what everybody says. You know, they mistreat animals. That's usually a precursor. What's your thoughts, Beth?
Hello?
What's your thoughts, Beck?
Oh, well, I've watched different movies on him and documentaries. I really think it is something that they're just assuming, because everybody always says, well, serial killers hurt animals. But I've also heard that he was very nice to his animals, just like they added in the series that he was horrible to his grandma, and that's not true either. So I think they do add a lot just to maybe stir the pot and get people more interested, which I do hate, because the story's already horrible enough the way it is. So adding more to it makes it even worse when it's not true.
Yeah, I hate that. I feel like it's not needed at all. I mean, I'm interested in the real story. There's no reason you need to add in your extra drama and spice.
Because without the added stuff, we're still going to watch it.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're going to do a docu-series, do a docu-series. Otherwise, you're going to have to call it alternate history. Because it is history, and you're altering it. So, if you're going to do a docu-series, you need to tell close to the truth as possible. Yes, you're going to have to add dialogue. Yes, you're going to have to add some, but stay true to the story.
Yeah, otherwise then you're getting into based on true events, you know, not...
Right. Alternate history, yeah. Which is Jack the Ripper, for instance. There's tons and tons of alternate history there.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody knows exactly who it was, for sure. I mean, Jeff Mudgett is going to tell his tale. He has theories that H.H. Holmes was indeed Jack the Ripper, but Ripperologists will argue that till the sun comes up, that it's disproven. But Jeff will tell you through things he has found that it is proven. So it's good to hear both stories. But, you know, they both got document evidence, but nobody knows for sure.
Well,
I don't think we...
Dahmer, the Dahmer series, the mom of the deaf guy that he killed, she swears up and down that they did not tell the story right, that he did not meet Dahmer until the night that he was killed, that there was never a love interest, and that they did not know each other for over a year before he killed him.
Really?
Yes. I read the whole interview, the news article.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
I know, but I don't know if they can say that's concrete facts, because obviously that the kid didn't live with them for a time, and also was his family even aware that he was homosexual? Because, you know, that was very not of the time.
They were aware.
She was aware that he was. Now, his friends say that they did know each other. His family says that they didn't know each other. So it's like one of those situations where there's so many different stories that you just kind of have to go with. There's just so many different things. And you wonder who really knows what actually happened and how close they really were.
Well, the persons that do are deceased.
Right.
You know?
And the one that did get away, they have not saw him in several years.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just for his.
So it's just sad. It's sad altogether.
It is sad. You know, all of them are sad. And like I said, they're all different. They all have certain attributes that are similar, but they're all a little different. You know, you've got Fauna Lady, which me and Diana both have the matching tattoos. You know, she was said to kill over, how many people? 1,800 people, something like that. Men, but she actually never killed anyone. She just gave women the poison to, you know, do whatever to their abusing.
And it was her decision.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she never actually killed nobody, but she was like a big serial killer, right? And then you've got Elizabeth Bathory, who was, yeah, obviously a serial killer, although she never killed nobody, documented, but she had people killed so she could bathe in their blood, you know, the virgins. So those were females, which, you know, now they say they're males between like 25 and 28 or 29 that are white. But there has been some African American. There has been, and you know from
Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. Don't forget him.
Hispanic. That's right.
Yeah. My 80s.
You know
that
there have been serial killers through the millennia that have not been caught, obviously, because there was no DNA evidence. There was no policing, you know, so they got by with it. It was easy to kill people back in the day, you know, 1600, 1700. You know, there's always been serial killers. It's just now that we are getting the forensic technology to where it's at, you know, that we're catching them more easily. And I think that's where a lot of them have either went underground, become more clever with hiding their tracks, or it has stopped a lot of it in the recent years, it has stopped them from doing it because of fear of going to prison and not be able to get what they need.
Right.
You know, because
well,
we did have a...
They say... Oops, sorry. They say that the serial killer rate has went down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, now we got a bunch of... We got more, like, mass shooters than we do serial killers, so...
Well, and it's about the same thing with a different label.
No, they're categorized differently.
I know, but they're killing a whole bunch of people at once.
Well, yeah, but then you have, well, like, serial killers, it's over a long period, and then they have cool-down periods, and then you got mass shooters or spree killers, so they just kill a lot of people at one time.
They just go off the rockers.
Which is just as tragic. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
The one got convicted today of 6 counts. What state was that in, Stephen?
Wisconsin, Wakasha. Yeah, Wisconsin.
He drove the vehicle into like 60 people and killed like 6. And he got like 6 counts of manslaughter or whatever, or premeditated. But he gets sentenced next week.
Daryl Brooks. Yeah.
Well, yeah. He got 6 consecutive sentences, so he'll be in prison for forever. But yeah, that's tragic when you do that on a mass scale. And I know that wasn't something of the past. We didn't have all these mass killers. That's a new thing. A newer. We had a few, but I mean, nothing like we do now, especially with the school shootings and all that. It's tragic, and I don't think the schools are doing what they need to do. I know, Diana, you went through a lot of bullying, and we fought the school to no avail. I mean, we really didn't get what we should have from them with bullies, but I think it's more recognizable now, and I think it's looked down upon now. I know when me and Stephen was in school,
I don't know how much you could prevent it, though, because, like, I know tons of people get bullied constantly, and they're not mass shooting people, you know?
Right. Yeah, you never took out, you know, a gun and shot a bunch of people, or you never set off a bomb at school.
Thing is, you can't trust some teachers now. I mean, there was a teacher in Indiana just a couple weeks ago. She got arrested because she literally had a hit list for her middle schoolers and admitted to it. Yes.
Really?
Admitted to it that she was going to shoot different various people, including some of her students, a teacher.
Middle schoolers.
So it's not like you can even say, well, the teachers aren't doing anything, because there's some crazy teachers out there, clearly.
Why?
If she really was like, you know what, all these poor little, I can't even rap. And she admitted to it. She was like, yeah, that's my hit list. I was going to take out some of my students.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Crazy. Yeah,
it's
just to give
nuts.
You guys a heads up. Yeah, the system will cut us off in about 5 minutes, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, it will cut us off.
Yeah, it's just so you know.
But it's been a great talk, guys. We're going to have a whole serial killer night.
Yes, serial killer
and
episode.
Cut us off again.
Beck's favorite thing in the world. Yeah. We'll schedule
a
3-hour block.
And come, you know, prepared with everything, and we're going to talk serial killers.
Yeah,
for
folks,
at least 2 hours.
Try not. Don't dress your kids as serial killers. For Halloween, stick to the fantastical stuff. Stick to the fun stuff.
I took my kids to a serial killer museum, but I would never dress them in a serial killer outfit.
Yeah.
No.
If we learned one thing today on the show.
Like Eddie Munson or pelicans or what?
With their pelican
fun costumes.
Their pelican hat. That's right. Addison just goes, absolutely not.
No.
Oh, dear God. All right, well, let's get final comments from Diana and Beck, because this is awesome to have both of them on at the same time. This is a historical night. So Diana, your final thoughts, and then Beck, you give your final thoughts on Halloween or any comments you want.
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, you put me on the spot.
Visit Cottage Core Creations on Facebook.
Yes.
Get one of those cool figures from Diana. Commission her.
She can make you a Sam Hain, or she can make you a Jason Voorhees, or whatever you want. She can make it out of yarn.
Yep, anything.
Anything out of yarn. I make clothes, blankets, dolls, mm-hmm. figurines,
pelicans.
You know, anything. So I can make a pelican.
And a pelican.
And a pelican.
All right. Beck?
A pelican.
You have anything you want to say?
My final thoughts are to enjoy the week, the Halloween week, eat lots of candy, watch lots of horror films, enjoy the family time, and to tune in next week for a new podcast.
Yeah,
how about
that's my final thought.
That's, well done. Holly, it has been great. I have had a blast. And if anybody wants to send me gift certificates so I can get more vinyl and bourbon, you may. I'd be glad to accept them. Holly, now you.
Those of you that know me know this is my time of season. The witching hour is upon us. Blessed be all of my fellow sisters. And enjoy your weekend. And until next time.
Until next time.
Have a frightful few days. Nighty night.
Good night.